Alright, here we go. Round two, True Colors Podcast with your hosts Dub and Cobb coming in with the real shit. What it is, baby. Holla at 'em.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Yeah, that's what's up. Today we got a much better show lined up for you, you know. Last show was just a dry run for us, but we trying to work out all the bugs for your listening pleasure. I'm Dub with my co-host Cobb, courtesy of Ceddy J Dust Spot Radio. Shout out to Ceddy J. Shit, we finna get right into it, man. What was the first segment? Goddamn it! Shit.
All right, we're gonna talk about let's talk about this fool Birdman.
Oh yeah, this
is over the.
Hey, wait a minute. You gotta put some respect on his name, my nigga.
That nigga fucked up, man. I mean, you know, he got this whole persona, him being like this super thug gangster and everything like that. If you're going up to a radio station like 8 to 10 deep, you know, you need to talk to your people outside and say, look, if this nigga say anything to me crazy, y'all run up on that nigga. I don't worry about the bell and all that shit. I got
somebody up on who?
Run up on Charlamagne.
Alright. You just don't like that nigga.
I mean, but I'm just saying though, like, you gotta think about it now. If he would have did that, he wouldn't have to worry about all these jokes and these memes and everything like that. He run around here talking about this 5-star stunner and he all this and then he blood and then you go in there with about 8 to 10 people and then you just walk out with 8 to 10 people. That ain't nothing,
yeah,
man. It's a waste of time.
He made himself a joke. He played himself big time, man. Like, I didn't see that coming from nobody with Birdman money. You know what I'm saying? Like, if old Trick Daddy was in concert recently talking about that shit, it's on video, y'all. He clowning that fool. Talking about, y'all see that fool? And then they played the clip from the Breakfast Club on stage, and he went into his little concert shit. Nigga, Trick Daddy clowning this nigga.
Look, I'm telling you, man, that's why I don't need no money. Let me get some money. Let me get rich and do an interview. And I got 8 to 10 niggas in there with me. You best believe somebody would have went up in his ass. Fuck that bullshit. I ain't got time for that. Kick his ass, man. On camera, on the radio, live. I don't give a fuck what it is. Y'all kick his ass. We'll worry about that other shit later.
You see your boy Charlamagne on there with Respect My Name t-shirts and shit on TV, on the internet now?
Yeah, but, well, Birdman's tried to sell them hoes, too. He got some of them hoes out.
Oh, shit, okay. Birdman tripping. He made himself a joke for nothing. All you had to do was go in there.
He called in and apologized later. Like, man, you wasting motherfuckers' time, man. Get up out of here with that. You should have kicked his ass.
Yeah, man. Shit, fuck yeah. Nigga put you on Front Street when he said Trick Daddy and Rick Ross.
Yeah, man. That's why I would have just got up and walked out, man, and let the goons be the goons. I ain't got time for that. Yeah. I ain't gonna argue with you. Kick his ass. I would have been straight up, man. Take that shit to court, man. I ain't telling them niggas to do nothing. I don't know what the fuck going on. You sue them. Sue them. You can't sue me. I ain't got nothing to do with that shit.
Yeah. He made a fool. Like, he made the biggest fool out of himself since Meek Mill, since all them niggas, man. Like, he should just charge that fool up smooth like Master P and finish the interview.
Yeah, that's all he had to do. That's what I would have done.
Hey, man. All he has to say is like, hey, man, y'all be on the trip and being stupid. Just chill the fuck out.
You already know what Charlamagne trying to do. He's looking for that lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't like that nigga, man. It's like he just talk all that shit and hide behind his job and fuck with people, trying to verbally bully people with more money than him so he can come up.
That's
all he's looking for.
That's because the rap game ain't what it used to be. You know, I bet he couldn't pull that shit off in the 90s. With DMX and all them niggas was at their prime, they would have whooped his ass. He would have known better to do that shit.
He would have tried that shit with he don't do that shit now with the niggas like Game and Master P and 50 Cent. He don't say shit to them.
Yeah, when Lil Mama and them come on there, then he be trying to go all crazy and make him cry and all that shit. That shit weak.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you just hide behind your title in your job, and you know this shit on videotape, so you talking all that shit. Even if it was on radio and that shit wasn't on videotape, he wouldn't be saying that shit. That's all it is. If it wasn't no cameras in there, he shut the fuck up.
I mean, I listened to a couple of interviews and shit when he was talking about, you know, why he be talking all that shit. And he like, yeah, you know, I got them white guys with suits and that'll illegally kill you and shoot you. I ain't got time for all that goon stuff. So he already know he protected, you know what I'm saying? But he can't be protected 100% of the day. He still got to move around here and do his job. That shit was me. I have niggas on his ass, man. And that's exactly why I ain't rich yet. The universe don't want me to get rich. There'd be a bunch of people out here fucked up.
Yeah, man. Fucked up like goddamn me, your boy Jay-Z and Beyonce with that bullshit. Eliminate
yo, you
shit.
Know, that shit damn near made me join the Beehive. That shit got me free HBO. That's what it's all about. Beyonce got me free HBO. I love that shit.
Yeah, man. Shit, Beyonce out here got these bitches breaking up with they niggas and motherfucking breaking windows with bats and talking all type of shit. Like, they worth $500 million. Bitch, you better sit your broke ass down. You know that nigga was cheating on you 3 weeks ago. Now you want to act like you all new to the game and shit. Like, you got some new backbone. Beyonce ain't paying your motherfucking life here.
You just got to be honest. You know, it sound bad, but, you know, after she with somebody like Jay-Z or Mogul, like, where else you going to go? It's only like him and Diddy he can fuck with.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Exactly.
Diddy fucked
up. Even though you got your own money, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure. I know Jay-Z got some prenups installed where you ain't finna just leave his ass for nothing. So, what's
up? She going to leave that fool for cash out?
And she going to leave No, she gonna leave her for a nigga with nothing, just like everybody else do. Like, they end up fucking around with, like, Shaq wife fucking off with a trainer. She gonna leave a nigga for one of them dancer niggas, one of her dancers that somebody that worked for her, so she can control that, because she know she got the money and the power over there. You know
she
what I'm
gonna
saying?
End
That's
up
what
like,
they do.
She gonna end up like that bitch, Halle Berry.
Yeah,
Halle
she
Berry
still gonna be rich, but your
baby daddies or whatever fuck she got.
And she keep bleaching her skin on the cool, like, we ain't noticing. Bitch, we see you.
Yeah, her and Lil' Kim and Nicki Minaj, all of them look crazy. Look crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
Lil' Kim,
I mean, Halle Berry and Nicki Minaj, I ain't gonna lie, they don't look crazy yet. But Lil' Kim need prayer. Bitch, Lil' Kim.
I mean, if you look at, you Google
bitch,
Nicki
Kim
Minaj
like China,
before
though.
All the, you Google Nicki Minaj before all the surgeries and shit, that bitch look like a 13-year-old Chinese girl.
Yeah, she was whack. I mean, she ain't had nothing. But
yeah, she was real wet.
But Lil' Kim, that shit obvious. This bitch look like the bride of Chucky doll. This bitch crazy.
All right, man. Now let's talk about what's going on. What's going on in the NBA, man?
Ah,
Golden State. Oh, go ahead.
Oh shit! I'm finna get a quick rundown. Shit, just now, Indiana just lost to Toronto.
Yeah, he's still gonna lose, man. You know, I'm told you Paul George ain't that nigga yet. He good, but he just ain't that nigga yet. He just ain't that nigga yet, man. I mean, he getting up there.
I mean, nah, they
I know
made
who
a,
he better
than,
though, better than James Harden, because James Harden used to be my nigga, man.
Oh,
he used to be my
shit.
Nigga, man. I gotta let it go.
Boo, James Harden.
I gotta let it go, man. I gotta let it go, man. That nigga ain't finna win shit. That nigga ain't finna win shit, man.
Yeah, man.
No damn Dwight Howard. That's not no goddamn Dwight Howard, man.
But
that nigga right there, he quit on every team that he go to.
Man,
like, goddamn, man, what's the problem?
The Lakers dodged the bullet with that fool there, man. They was begging that fool to stay with the Lakers. I'm like, fuck him. If he don't want to be there, don't kiss his ass. He don't want to play for nobody. He's just like an Andrew Bynum. He's like an Andrew Bynum with two good knees. That's how Dwight Howard is, big lazy motherfucker.
He's going to opt out of Houston and go, like, to the 76ers or some shit, play there for about a year and a half or something, and then start saying they ain't giving them the ball enough and all this and that shit.
Yeah,
he
ain't going to the Sixers, but he going to go somewhere where they could use them, where they got a young core, when they could use them. They going to hype that shit up like that, and they going to make the playoffs because he going to have sporadic
like
games.
He's gonna be asking for max money. Are you gonna? Would you give him max still?
No, I wouldn't. It's like,
you know what I'm saying?
You ain't got no significant injuries. You ain't got no excuses. You know what I'm saying? It's just your heart. You ain't got the heart of a champion. Period.
Yeah,
period. You or James Harden, honestly. And it's like, even though James Harden did good point-wise, he did good point-wise per game if you break down a series, but if you watch the games, you clearly see that that man does not have what it takes to become
that dude, his whole
an MVP,
defense,
official
man.
MVP. Say what?
He refused to play defense.
Nigga,
I mean, goddamn, nigga, you got at least try. That nigga don't even try.
I was gonna say when Steph Curry went down, that should have been you already won. Luckily, you already had a game under your belt, so it's not like you're gonna get swept. So that should have been even more motivation when Steph Curry went down to step it up and just to push the envelope to go out with a fight. They didn't even do that shit. Like, how the fuck you give up and the best player in the world that you're going up against, not even in a series? Like, that's ridiculous. It's like you getting blew out by, I mean, a good team. They still a great team without Curry, but your chances increase dramatically when he's not on the floor and you still refuse to play hard. Like, you still refuse to come out here with energy. You still refuse to be in sync with each other. You still refuse to,
you know,
to motivate each other. It's ridiculous. If you know basketball,
I'll still
you know
give
that
it. I'll give it, like, you know, maybe 60% on him, you know, because at the end of the day, you still shouldn't have no goddamn Patrick Beverley as your starting point guard because he can't do shit. Trevor Ariza look washed up. You know, I don't even know who the hell in A4. That Mokahini's guy, what the fuck his name is, he ain't about shit. They roster need help, though.
Yeah,
Harden
got to
take it because he's the best player. But they roster suck. They roster is horrible. They shit horrible. You can't turn Patrick Beverley into no goddamn. It'd be hard to get him to score
in
the points, man.
Yeah, point guard Jimmy Lee. Nah, son. I'd rather take my chance with a new dude.
Say what?
Nah,
that nigga ain't on my team. I'm sorry.
What?
I keep Patrick Beverley.
Skill wise.
I don't give a fuck about his skill. He'll fuck up the locker room. He gotta go.
That locker room, trust me, Rocky's locker room already fucked up.
All right, who else we got? We got the Cavs playing Atlanta in the next series. What you think about that?
Man, let me tell you something. This motherfucker LeBron James knows he's skating to the finals every goddamn year for the last, 6 years now?
Something like that. He ain't going to the West. He's good.
2012, he's been in the finals every single year, and he's been undefeated in the first round since 2012. And it's clearly because he knows he's skating. Now, Atlanta is a good team, and they're not going to get swept because at home they play
gonna win
real
one
good.
Game. They're going to win one goddamn game. That's going to be a waste of time.
I'm just saying, because they was playing with very high energy against Boston. So I don't know if you've seen the series, but if they shoot how they shoot in games 5-7 against the Celtics, oh yeah, they're gonna beat Cleveland. At least maybe at the most two games, of course, but I say they're gonna win the game.
I'm telling
you,
they're gonna win one game, and I tell you what I hate the most about watching this shit. I watch these goddamn games with this nigga, man, Kyrie Irving, be going the fuck off, and LeBron be sitting up here acting like a goddamn cheerleader and a coach at the same goddamn time. When they go on the break, they get in the huddle. He wanna be telling niggas, oh, you gotta run over here and do this. I don't even see Tyronn Lue. I don't know what the fuck he doing. He might as well go ahead on it. Go and hit the locker room, nigga. You not needed.
He ain't even signed the contract yet. He still, it's like, I don't know how the fuck they doing business in Cleveland. That's bullshit. Like, he not even officially the head coach on paper. They said that shit on ESPN. He not even the official coach or some shit. You know, he ain't signed the contract yet.
Because you already know what they going to do. After the season over, they ask LeBron, hey, what you think? LeBron's going to get a yay or nay. And then that's going to be either the end of Tyronn Lue or he just going to be there like he is now. That nigga don't call no plays, man. Nigga, you got to cross over, nigga. Officer, all day. That's all you known for. I'm sick of these garbage-ass niggas acting like they were so weak because they were so smart.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Take it easy on my nigga Lue, man. It's like a nation, baby. Fuck
Tyronn
Lue got there.
You ain't no good coach.
Tyronn Lue know what it takes.
Steve Kerr ain't no good coach. Luke Walton ain't no good coach. I said,
yeah, he's
I said fuck
shit.
Luke.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Fuck Steve
fuck
Kerr.
Walton.
Fuck Luke Walton.
Yeah, them motherfuckers ain't did shit. Like, they really over there. We know damn well y'all ain't over there in the huddle drawing up plays for this motherfucker to shoot 40-foot threes.
Yeah, they hitting them hoes from half court and shit. You just shaking your goddamn square ass head, acting like you did something. You ain't did shit.
Just sitting there smiling at each other. Fuck y'all, man.
Yeah, get the fuck up out of here.
You ain't
man.
Even.
I knew that. I knew
you ain't even build
a
team.
Job off of that shit, man.
Steve Kerr, like, look at Steve Kerr when he was upstairs though with Phoenix. Like, you brought Shaq to Phoenix when he was past his prime. Shit, you did all right when you was working with the Spurs upstairs. But a lot of moves Steve Kerr done did during his career, outside of being a player, ain't been the best moves. The best move he ever did, of course, was taking the Warriors coaching job over the Sixers. Like, that was
look,
a no-brainer.
The best move he ever did was get jawed by Jordan. That's the best move he ever did. That's it. That's
this
it. Other than that,
shit.
He did shit. This nigga followed Jordan to the finals.
He didn't get jawed. He had a black
nigga.
Eye. He had a punch in the eye.
Followed Jordan through the finals. All right, nigga. He had his little moments. All right, whatever. Average white dude shoot. All right, then you talking about the Suns. All right, they ain't win no championship. Went to the Spurs, which they always winning. I can't give you credit for that. Going to goddamn Golden State where you got the best player. Like you said, shooting 35-footers and shit like that. I ain't giving you credit for that. So, fuck Steve Kerr. He ain't shit. Fuck Luke Walton,
man.
Too.
Yeah, fuck him. Like, I don't know what the fuck you think he's finna do with L.A. We finna see how you coach under adversity, motherfucker, because you ain't had no adversity over there in Golden State. You had expectations to meet, of course, but you didn't have no adversity. Like, even the Lakers, that's the biggest market, the second biggest market in sports, in basketball, so the spotlight will be on you. And the motherfuckers over there, they acting like he the only one that can handle this team that they wanted in line to coach or something. Talking about we only wanted him and interview him and blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, these motherfuckers still paying Mike Brown.
Well, you know,
for real,
they just fucked up.
They still got to pay Mike Brown. They still got to pay, unless they just paid him off up front. But to my knowledge, they still have to, of course, they still have coaches remaining contracts. They still got to pay Mike Brown. He probably paid off by now. They still got to pay D'Antoni. They still got to pay Byron Scott. And now they got to pay Luke Walton. It's like, damn, it's like they keep going through all these coaches because it's such a big market and they got the money to blow. But it's like, just because you got the money to blow don't mean you got these people in their right mind making these decisions. It's like Mitch Kupchak been with them for so long, they scared to fire that fool. I fire that fool. And just bring in some fresh blood. Like, for real, like, fuck it. Mitch Kupchak, you had your run. We got all these goddamn rings. You did good for the most part. But let me end you now before you fuck up your legacy even more. You know what I'm saying? He was a good GM. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how him and Dr. Buzz did that shit before. But now it's like, I don't know what the fuck going on. I don't know who making the decisions or what. But evidently, this GM, Mitch Kupchak, for the Lakers need to go because the Laker Nation don't know what the fuck going on no more. Like, we not saying you should get who we think you should get. But it's obvious that the coaching wasn't the major area that you had to make cuts in anyway. So whatever, fuck you.
All right, now let's talk about the Thunder and the Spurs, man. And the Spurs, you know, I guess they was built by Steve Kerr sitting up there not doing shit because they went about 30 and shit because Steve Kerr had, you know, he left his impressions on the team.
First, that wasn't built by Steve Kerr. That motherfucker LaMarcus Aldridge, he's showing up right at the right time. You know what I'm saying? 38 points.
Him and Kawhi, that's them two niggas right there, yo, they ballin'.
That's the future.
Yeah, they ballin' for real.
For real. Kawhi Leonard, first play of the game, this motherfucker who was snappy ass braids come down in the middle of the paint and slam that hoe, first play. I was like, ooh, shit, it's gonna be a wrap. Yeah. I already knew game was over.
Yeah, so nigga Westbrook after the game, how he felt Kawhi did on him, he tried to downplay the shit, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, I just missed my shot. I'm like, nah, nigga.
You did
Kawhi
fuck
got
up
in your ass, nigga.
Yeah,
Kawhi got up in your ass.
He played,
that's what he do.
And Kawhi, I'm like Harden. He plays defense. Like, he beastie.
You know, Harden was trying to control. Harden was trying to get on keeping up with the Kardashians and shit like that. You know, he lost his way. He lost that here in the streets.
Yeah, man. LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't expect him to have a game like that all the time, but he's still elite. You know what I'm saying? 38 points, 18 of 22. He only missed 4 shots last night. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to happen all the time, of course, but he still made, you know, he's still elite. And then they got, who was that, Parker, Ginobili. They got a, you know what I'm saying? They letting Parker and Duncan, you know, start and lead the team, you know what I'm saying, mentally, but if you look at the stat sheet, them young bucks is the ones putting in work. You know what I'm saying? Like, Popovich knows what he's doing. Like, Tim Duncan only had 8 points last night.
Yeah, he really got to do is try to protect the paint when he's in there for a little bit, shoot a little bit, and that's about it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, and if need be, if the game is tight down the stretch, he's going to have Tim Duncan in there just to use the little extra juice that he got because he's not wore out. So, I mean, you know, the Spurs, they're going to be the team to beat. And Curry going to have to get healthy once they get past Portland because they're going to need Curry against the Spurs for sure, 100%. Well, as close as they can get Curry because I don't see San Antonio backing down this year. Like last year, Parker was hurt. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of gimpy. They didn't have LaMarcus Aldridge. Tim Duncan was old. You know what I'm saying? They had a lot of stipulations. And Golden State was just so really hot. So
yeah, they're going to be so rested up, man. They so deep.
Exactly. I mean, don't get it twisted. The Golden State Warriors, they're going to get some rest, too. Because they won today convincingly without Curry. So,
man,
you know, everybody.
When they play them, they better run the shit out of them old niggas, man. That's the only way.
Yeah.
If you play that half-court shit, you can't play half court with San Antonio. You got to hit them where it hurts. You got to make them niggas wake up in the morning and feel that shit. Because other than that, if you try to play half court set with them, man, they too good for that, man. They're going to have to use them young boys like Harrison Barnes and Curry and Clay. They're going to have to run up and down that court fast paced. If they don't do that, they ain't got a chance, man.
Yeah, they got to run a gun, the motherfuckers, man. Like high school style. All
right, man. Speaking of high school, man, you hear about that? You hear about that story, man, with I think the young lady name was Amy Joyner, man. She beat up, killed that school, man, over a little boy, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Amy Joyner, a high school student in Delaware, she got a jump by 3 other girls in a bathroom, and she fell and hit her head on a sink, they said. Now, it is, like I told you before, off air, I told you they was recording it. It's on video. But they didn't. The video can't be released, of course, because she died, you know, so it's not going to be released. But it is a video, and the people, you know, I'm pretty sure the police and whoever seen the video, of course, because they released pictures of the fight, you know what I'm saying, just pictures of it, of them jumping on her. But they got, you know, it's a video, but they showed the girl, you know what I'm saying, they showed them getting jumped on. But they haven't released a statement about the future of the 3 girls, what's going to happen to them yet. I don't know what's going to happen to them yet. But honestly, man, like, as a parent, it's like, it's crazy. It's like, you at work, you send your kids to school, you know, and you get a phone call saying that from the police or whoever, the school, saying that basically you're never going to see a child again alive.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario, man. Like, you might expect a fight, which you don't want either, and you might, you know, expect some type of little childish suspension and stuff like that, but you don't expect death, man, when you're sending your kid off to school. I feel sorry for both parties, man, because you got this, you know, one girl dead, she ain't coming back. These other 3 girls, only 16, 17, however old they are, you know, they might have just ruined their whole life.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, pretty much ruined 4 lives. You know what I'm saying?
Over nothing.
Yeah, for nothing. Oh, a boy or something that is supposed, she's supposed to have been messing around with one of the other little girl's boyfriends, a dude that ain't nowhere to be found and don't care about him anyway. And now she gone. And she was a pretty little girl, too. I seen her. She was a pretty little girl. Her daddy on TV crying his eyes out. He don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think she actually had her funeral services today. You know, so I say, you know, RIP to Amy Joyner, man. I feel real bad about that whole situation.
Yeah, man, that's ridiculous, man. These kids out here thinking that's the way ladies supposed to act. That's not how ladies supposed to conduct themselves.
Man,
you know what
you
I'm saying?
think about you see that video with the pops, man, beating on his son, man, with the gloves?
Yeah, who didn't see that shit?
Whooped his ass, man.
What was the dude named Travis? Okay, it was a dude named Travis Sellers who posted a video of him beating up his son for walking out too early a class on his teacher. He said in the video he gonna get this work. He's supposed to call him when he walked out of class, but he didn't call him and tell him. So now he demonstrating to him how he's supposed to learn how to fight and act accordingly in school by basically beating the shit out of your son and splattering blood on the wall.
Once I seen the shit, what I tell you? So that nigga going to jail.
Yeah. And today he's out on a $5,000 bond, and the police has removed his son from the home.
So you lost all the way around, man.
They don't say who the boy living with. Hopefully it's his mother or another relative, but he's out today on a $5,000 bond, and I'm pretty sure he won't do serious jail time. Just now, he got them white folks in his life. You want to put
the problem is, man. Yeah, you can't be doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? If you want to do that shit, you know what I'm saying? No camera and shit like that. That shit still ain't right. But at least, you know what I'm saying? It won't be out like this. Like when it gets so popular and it's so violent, they ain't got no choice but to lock your ass up, man. That's unnecessary.
And the only videos, the only videos that go viral are the violent fights and the celebrity stupid ass incidents. Them the only videos that actually go viral nowadays. So you know what's gonna happen. You black too, you know what's gonna happen, man. You know it. They don't even want you to. These white folks don't even want you to have your own damn house, let alone beat up your son in your house. So why are you showing videos of you in your house? You talking about what goes? He said, "What goes on in his house? Stay in his house, motherfucker." Why you cut off?
Nigga, you recording it? You recording it?
You recording shit? Stupid ass.
Goddamn dumbass, man. You already know, man. That's. I mean, you've seen shit happen multiple times. Yo, once you do that shit's so violent. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you could have hit the nigga hit him in the stomach or something. You might not have been that bad. You know what I'm saying? But you can't just sit up there and start wailing on this little boy, man. He all bloody and shit. And then, you know, you just acting like ain't shit gonna happen.
You don't work that way. Yeah, man, that's bullshit. Yeah, that's bullshit 100%. That's like, what was that video, Sharkeesha?
Yeah, that bitch right there had a mean punch.
Yeah,
Sharkeesha
a fool. I still remember that shit. So you know,
yeah.
You know, Brother Man, they're going to be talking about Brother Man for years to come. Like, even after he get his son back, God willing, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully he learned his lesson, though, man. Hopefully some good done came out of this. Hopefully the boy, I know his ass ain't walking out of class no more. I ain't worried about him.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully the daddy understand at least not to videotape what goes on in your home and broadcast it. You know what I'm saying? It's like ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? I get the message. I understand what he was trying to display, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to intimidate your son and, you know what I'm saying, try to, you know, I guess give him some aspect of being a man and all that, but there's other ways you can do it, man. You ain't got to do all that, man.
Exactly. It's like, basically what he did was bully his son, because boxing has weight class, technically. You know, even if your son was skilled and could dodge a lot of punches, it would have been better for him. But the punches that you do land, you so much stronger than him, you still go rock him. You know what I'm saying? You still can hurt him. You know what I'm saying? He ain't had no head gear on. He ain't had nothing. You got blood on your carpet and your walls. Why you couldn't go in the backyard? It's like, dude, it's just all
we all know how it go, man. Like, I mean, what most of us do, you know, every son, just like every daughter with the mom, you know, every son going to try to test they pops probably once in their life when they get a little older, a little big and stuff like that. And even when they do that, you know what I'm saying, you can rough them up a little bit, but you don't need to be doing all that.
You know what I'm saying? Just
that don't make no damn sense.
Yeah, just one quick punch to the gut, knock the wind out of him, he'll sit down, he'll go on about a bit.
That's it, nigga. Hit him with that grown man power. He'll sit the fuck down. He'll understand, like, all right, daddy ain't bullshit. This shit for real.
Like,
this
nigga. Right. I'm chill, fuck
out. I might not want to do this.
For real. Like, he'll chill. He'll understand. He'll respect the technique, like Rakim. Shit,
right, man, let's get on. Let's go on, man. Let's get in with the topic, man. Let's let everybody know what we're talking about today.
All right, the topic we got coming up after this music break, we're gonna talk about the agenda. The agenda of which the government, or white people, Caucasians, cave dwellers, people that burn in the sun, whatever the fuck you want to call them. The agenda is the strategical maneuvers they use to keep black people at bay. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's through education, it's through housing, it's through medicine, employment. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into all that, you know what I'm saying? As in deep as we can, we go explain to you facts of the ways that they do us from ever since it's going to start after slavery, so there's no excuses, all the way till today, the shit they do to basically fuck us over in the end. You know what I mean? So, said, go ahead, hit them niggas with this Tory Lanez real quick, and when we come back, we go touch up on this agenda shit.
Yeah. Years in the making. New Toronto.
And when I go, they gon' remember me like motherfuckin' Mega Bell.
You know, I've been there in the wintertime.
These niggas thought it
was quite cold outside.
Imagine like a Mega Bell.
Let's warm this bitch up.
Bandana around my head like a Mega Bell. Y'all ready?
Pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
Will be rich, fam.
I pull out the Porsche,
oh,
I
yeah.
jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo
again. I know what it's like to be killed.
Man,
we could get rich again.
Real ones can't be stopped.
Tory Lanez. And when I go, they go
remember. DJ
Drama. These niggas thought that I was finished. I can imagine like a Mega Bell. Bandana around my head like a Mega.
Yeah, I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo.
We gon' be rich forever.
I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
I told them that we could get rich together.
We tried to tell
y'all. I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
Niggas left me up for dead, now I'm Machiavelli.
It's all now.
Reincarnated Machiavelli.
Call it niggas. Wait, real money. Call the lawyer for the deal money. Where a nigga laughing to the bank, you would think the checks are looking real funny. Know a couple niggas that'll kill for me. Couple bitches that'll steal from me. Niggas still love me, women still love me, cause they only get it true and real from me. I'm a full time don't driver. Pardon nigga, but I give it to him. All this activists up in the Sprite, this shit was getting to it. I was sipping through it. I was with the Ruger, nigga really shooting, putting bitches all up in the Billy Coopers. Working to the so I wrote a Vinny door like it's a rental cool boy. We the hover side when the mother guys talking down. Talking about how we run shit. Talking about how we shut it down. Came in with the whole thing of the whole thing. Rope chain with the soul train. With the white girl, baby, cocaine. And you know the name, you know the name, Lord. On God, boy, right now. Fucked outside, straight black mice. On God, boy, right now. I own heat, no Pat Riley. Made $1 million, rap torn. I ain't talking no Kyle Lowry. Y'all nigga like the Ten Commandments. Always got 10,000.
I'm back on bed.
Yeah. I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
We'll be rich, fam.
I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
I told them that we could get rich together.
I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Mazda, then it's the Rizzo again.
Niggas left me
then
up for dead, now I'm Machiavelli. Reincarnated Machiavelli.
We'll be right back.
Don't take it personal.
And when I go, they gon' remember me like motherfucking Megan.
I mean, we been told you.
These niggas thought that I was finished.
Toronto just got the special sauce.
Bandana around my head like a Machiavelli.
I guess you could call this our 7 day fairy.
I jump in the Maz and then it's the Riz again.
We'll be rich, fam.
I pull out the Porsche.
30 niggas got 7 days till 2016.
I told them that we could get rich, but they made.
I pull out the Porsche, I jump in the Maz and then it's the Riz again.
Niggas left me out for dead, now I'm Machiavelli.
What?
We got Godnet and Machiavelli.
T-Lock.
Yo,
we back.
Yeah, we back. Let's go.
Alright, here we go. That was it. So, like, Bailey, I'm in the mixtape. What's the name of that shit?
That shit jam, man. I bang that shit every day.
What's the name of the mixtape?
The New Toronto, Tory Lanez. That whole mixtape, fire.
Alright. All right, we got the agenda, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get into this agenda shit real quick. Basically, the agenda is facts that we've researched deeply, you know what I'm saying? We're not just two niggas out here complaining. We got facts, you know what I'm saying? That's what separates us from the other shows. We're not sitting here just talking shit. We actually, this shit is actually true. The shit that they don't put in textbooks at your kid's school. We're going to give you facts about how these white folks specifically target us to hold us back, to keep us from winning. You know what I'm saying? And then they want to talk that shit about how we got a fair chance at this, how we got a fair chance at that. All we got to do is work hard and this and that and the other, which is bullshit, when they specifically have the power and the money and the rights and the laws on their side, and they actually have shit in writing, per se, to hold us back. So go ahead and, Kyle, what you got?
All right, man. So what I think you gotta look at, man, you gotta look at it as a whole. You know, so just take the Black Panthers for example, right? You know, there was a black group, you know, they tried to inspire many black youth and, you know, adults as well. And
right.
The government of course didn't like that. Now
right.
At this time they wasn't posing any type of violent threat towards the government. They're black people uniting other black people, pretty much that been lost in the world, didn't have really government backing, didn't have any help. So you get a bunch of black people that come together, which has always been an issue in U.S. history. Whenever black people come together, it's always a problem. So
exactly.
1967, of course, we all know COINTELPRO, but you got to think about how they describe a group of black people coming together. Hoover described them as one of the greatest threats to the country. Now, you got to think about that. They have not done anything, have not harmed any people. All they're doing is educating all black people to better themselves. And they were called as one of the greatest threats to the country. And, you know, if you look deep into COINTELPRO, into the government, like, characterization of this group, they call them like a black nationalist hate group, which is completely untrue. The Black Panthers
right.
did a lot of good for our community. They got
right.
like free breakfast programs, free clothing. They created an emergency response group. They couldn't drink. They couldn't smoke. So, I mean, these are black people. All they're trying to do is better themselves, just like they tell us to do today. And what happened?
Uh-huh.
The government shut them down.
Exactly. And a lot of people... A lot of people today don't realize that the reason why these schools, these public schools, even have breakfast in the mornings is because of the Black Panthers. So
that's it.
It's a lot of good. It's a lot of good that they've done still carries on today that people don't even realize where it came from.
Yeah, you know, like you look at it now with the whole NRA movement, and once you say anything about taking their guns, then the NRA stands up. But the NRA around back then too, and when the Black Panthers got together. You know, they would follow cop cars, and whenever, you know, they did pull over a black person, because at that time, of course, you had a bunch of cops doing things they weren't supposed to do, just like now. But then we had people that cared and took time out of their day to follow them to make sure nothing happened. And all they would do was sit at the side with their guns, and, you know, they would just make sure the cop didn't do anything that they weren't supposed to do. And out of nowhere, you know, they seen black people united with guns. They tried to make laws against that. And
right.
At that time, see, the NRA didn't step up, didn't say anything about it. So once again, that's another example for, you know, they always tell us to operate within this system, comply within this system. And that's fine until it makes them uncomfortable. And once it makes them uncomfortable, then that's pretty much when, you know, they have to take action on any type of African-American, black, or however you want to categorize yourself as. It's just not right, you know? And I'm sick
it's
of that
not.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're not alone, man, because this shit, it seems that it's not going to end anytime soon. That's the thing. It's like, we can only take so much. It's like a melting pot, and eventually it's going to boil over, you know what I'm saying, more so than any bullshit riot or anything. Like, it's got to be an end to a means somewhere down the road, and it doesn't seem like it anytime soon, which is bullshit. You know, it's
it's information there. Like, I mean, some of the things that COINTELPRO said that their goals was to do was to prevent a messiah from coming from any black groups, was to prevent any black leaders from gaining and keeping respect in their community. Like, that shows you right there that whenever we come together, if we was to come together right now and unify like we need to do, we got to understand that mentally we got to be strong, physically we got to be strong, and we need to have some type of understanding and knowledge and knowing that they are going to try to break us apart. That's the only way we can be defeated by them, is if they break us apart.
Yeah, and it's like what they do is, if we do get together, they go find that one lonely soul, that one soul, and offer him money to sell out the whole crew. That's how they do it. They infiltrate.
Yeah.
That's the only leverage that they got. Like, once we stick together, because the last thing they want to do is give us some money. So that's their secret weapon. That's the last resort, is their money. Once they realize that you can't buy us, that's when they kill you. You know what I'm saying? That's when they kill you. That's when they just say, fuck it, we'll deal with the backlash because he don't want none of our bullshit money. That's how they do. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, eventually they end up, of course, breaking into the Black Panther Party, end up infiltrating, end up, you know, killing a bunch of them. You know, if you look up the information that is out there that people really need to look at, this is a group that pretty much was trying to uplift our people, which the government admittedly took them down just for that reason. It was no other reason besides they felt uncomfortable and they didn't want black people to come to actually have a first shot. They didn't want us to be educated. They still don't want us to be educated now. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, That helps create a sense of fear in a lot of black people's minds, as, you know, why we don't have good leadership. You know, we got motherfuckers out here like Al Sharpton and shit like that. Like, nobody.
I ain't about shit.
We don't respect them, you know.
Yeah,
we don't respect them. Like, we don't have any black leaders that we can point to and all us follow like we had with the Martin Luther Kings, we had with the Malcolm X, we had with the Black Panthers. And they sent the message mentally to us that, if you guys unite and you have a leader, we will kill that leader. And we will make it so destructive throughout your community that you won't survive. And that's something that we got to know, and something that we got to just do it, man.
Exactly.
It's getting worse year by year.
Exactly. And the perfect example is Donald Trump. It's like, wow, like, this dude is steady going on a tirade, and he's winning. You know what I'm saying? That should tell you everything you need to know about this country. It's like, where's all the Al Sharptons and Jesse Jacksons and all these so-called leaders speaking against this clown? Because they on payroll. That's my theory. And I don't have any proof, of course, but that's my theory. It's like, they've been extremely quiet through this whole period of election process. Meanwhile, even back when Obama was running, they had a lot to say. Whether they was with them or against them, they was all on TV and shit like that. But now, with this election coming up, They quiet as a mouse. Why? Because they on payroll. That's my theory. You know,
what,
Trump,
man, that's,
Trump.
We don't need to get into that voting shit.
Huh?
That voting shit ain't for us, man. And you know,
I don't think it is. It ain't about voting. It's just about.
But I mean, when you're talking about the political party, like the only way that we have a need for that is if after we all unify together. We unify together, then we get a lobbyist to push our agenda. After you pay the lobbyist, then a lobbyist will handle up. Other than that, after they see how many people that, you know, are in unity that's black, Democrats and Republicans, because right now, you know, the Democrats just do whatever they want to us. They just lie and we going with it. You know, this bitch talking about hot sauce on the purse and all this corny shit, and we rolling with the shit. So we don't, until we get ourselves together and unify, we don't need to be no part of that. You know, I've had people tell me several times, like, oh, you know, this is white and black people. Whenever a Caucasian come up and tell me that shit when I say I don't vote, and they be like, oh, but your ancestors died to vote. And then I always hit them with, no, my ancestors died because y'all killed them. Don't put that shit on me. That shit ain't my goddamn fault. You motherfuckers did that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, they didn't hang themselves.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So don't act like, you know, it's my fault that they did and I should vote just in memory of them. No, y'all shouldn't have did that shit.
Yeah, they didn't tie the rope themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind voting, but damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, checking the box. They shouldn't have died for checking the box.
Yeah, man, so, you know, we got just that whole instance, you know, with the, like, we're explaining with the Black Panthers and stuff. So we just got to understand, like, the reason why they were broken apart was because they wanted to show us that, you know, if we ever try to unite, then they will kill our leaders and try to, you know, create chaos throughout our unity. So, you know, the next thing up I want to talk about is actually the housing. Now, the housing is very segregationist. Like, it's real fucked up. I mean, if you look at it, you know, I think through 1934 through 1968, so that's not that long ago, you know, we had the FHA and everything like that. And, of course, like now, you know, you try to, it's you can get an FHA loan now if you're black, but then it was pretty much damn near impossible. And that created the separation and gave us a lot of the poor neighborhoods that we're in now, because if you were black, you know, they would push us in these certain areas. And if you were white and you was looking at homes around that, you know, community, they would automatically deny your loan, push you towards or push you away from the black people. And then that's how we got division. So they put a bunch of the poor people in one spot, which, you know, most likely it's us and, you know, some Hispanics, put all us in one spot. They made sure that the Caucasians were able to get loans in other areas away from us, which divided us then. So now we don't have a leader. We don't have any leadership, and we're all in these small ghettos and projects with no sense of direction.
Exactly. And not only that, it's like once we get in here, it's like we forever trapped.
That's it. And, I mean, you got to look at the whole system itself, man. I mean, we got no leadership. We're all pushed together in one ghetto, you know, with no resources, no jobs, no anything. And then what's the next thing they do? They bring drugs into our community, which the government, once again, we all know Freeway, Ricky Ross, and everything, how all that went. So now we're separated, we know leadership, and now they're pushing drugs into our community.
Which they admit on doing. They admit it to it. They admit it. Okay, for people that don't know this, you were alive around the time where Bill Clinton was getting this shit on with Monica Lewinsky during that big-ass scandal shit. Now, that time, I think the year was, what was it, 96? Was it 96? Okay, during that time, that's when the government released a statement from the CIA openly admitting a full document saying that they specifically targeted African-American communities starting in California with cocaine and the recipe for crack pretty much, and how they used it to basically, they used the money to fund the war that they weren't supposed to be doing anyway, courtesy of your president, Ronald Reagan.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, if you think about it, if you actually look at it, Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, but the reason why people don't really know this or acknowledge this is because this is the same time that the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal was going on, which people don't even know about, which people was just so consumed with. They even impeached the damn president because of this shit. That's how far they went with it to hide this fact. Now, it's a movie about this movie called Kill the Messenger. This is a true story. You know what I'm saying? Kill the Messenger. Check this movie out. It's explaining how everybody needs to see this movie. Now, people haven't seen or heard of this movie because of the subject matter. That's how deep this shit is. Like, people haven't even seen this movie because no promotion, wasn't in theaters. The government don't even want you to see the damn movie about the shit for something that happened 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? It's a true story. Check it out. It explains everything we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? How Ronald Reagan was denied to go to war, so he secretly got connected with these drug runners, and he used the money to fund the war that he wasn't even supposed to be doing, and he took the dope and flooded the hood. He found local drug dealers, black dudes, and not Ronald Reagan himself, but he used people like they always do to target. He told them to get the drugs just to the blacks, took it to the hood, let them make their money for a few months or a few years, and then they threw them in jail anyway, like Free Ray with Ricky Ross. That's who, not the rapper, but the real Ricky Ross. Just Google this shit, people. We're not lying. True colors don't lie to you. We want you to learn.
And just I want to say something about, like, you know, for people who think, like, we making it up and, you know, it's not real, just look at it today, for instance. You know, so we are in Afghanistan, been in Afghanistan for a while now. Afghanistan makes 85% of the heroin that produces in the world, okay? The second largest of them, I think, is 10%. So it's a drop from 85%. I mean, it's 85% and it drops all the way to 10%. And since we've been in Afghanistan, the heroin sales tripled. It tripled. And what's the problem? What happens here? Now here, of course, you know, we have the big heroin epidemic, which is another reason why they want to get rid of a lot of, you know, the drugs and the war on drugs now and say it's more of a mental issue. It's because now a bunch of Caucasian males are actually the highest users of heroin, and I think it's meth. So, I mean, we've been over there for that long. The sales tripled, and we actually guard the heroin fields. So ever since we've been over there with that, here at home, the use tripled and the sales tripled. It's because the U.S. have always been in the business of drugs. The only difference is when it was with us, you know, they denied it, of course, and tried to hide it, and they wanted to lock us up. But when it's heroin and they're shipping, you know, three times as much here and it's landing in the wrong hands, now we got a problem. And now using drugs is a mental issue, and we shouldn't lock them up, and we should let our cops have, you know, needles to you know, if you find some white man ODing, then you can stick him with the needle like he on fucking Pulp Fiction or some shit.
Yeah, man. So they lock us up for the dope, and they make these laws and these stipulations to keep us out and fuck up our future, like they doing with the new medical boom. You know what I'm saying? Which is medical marijuana. You know what I'm saying? Now, once marijuana, it's already legal in several states, 23 states. So once that becomes legal everywhere, it's the whole medicine market is going to change dramatically. People are going to get rich. They already getting rich right now, but not as much as in the near future. You know what I'm saying? That's the next big thing for all you people who want to invest and have clean backgrounds. Medical marijuana is it, and they are literally already setting up roadblocks to keep people of color out of this system. Now, about just a while ago with the drug thing, like if you have any possession or any type of any large or small incident on your record, you cannot be a part of the medical marijuana business. You cannot work at a legal medical marijuana shop. You cannot grow legally. You cannot sit at a board. You cannot be you can't even invest. You know what I'm saying? And they do this to specifically keep us out of it, because if you look at the statistics, people of color have the most criminal background records of nonviolent crimes in the jail system right now. You know what I'm saying? They make up all these stipulations specifically just to keep us out of the next big boom. Now, say you don't have any type of criminal background, which is good. It's going to cost at least $250,000 just to get your own legal medical marijuana business off the ground right now. And that's when it's cheap. So imagine once the boom happens, it's going to be even more. But you're going to need at least $250,000 just to get the business off the ground. Now, since marijuana is illegal still by the government, you cannot get a business loan for this type of business from a bank because banks are government regulated. So you have to come up with the money pretty much on your own. You can't just go like you're opening up a grocery store to the bank with a plan. No, because it's still illegal in their eyes, so they're not.
And we all know who got that money, who gonna buy most of the land and try to start and take over their whole business just like they do everything else.
Exactly. They already buying right now. Like, the billionaires are already buying because, you know, they got money to blow, of course. So they buying them all the farmland. Even in Texas, they buying them all the farmland, all the territory, all the vacant lots, you know what I'm saying, with healthy soil. They buying up everything right now. Like, right now, 2016, they buying that shit up, even in states where it's not even legalized yet. They buying up all the land right now to specifically for that purpose of medical marijuana because they see it coming. Like, they see it coming. They even got a name for it. It's called early something shit, which people use. You know what I'm saying? Like, they see the shit coming. Like, this is just an example of how they set up these laws to keep us from making money, to keep us from bettering ourselves for something that they've been throwing us in jail for years over, and now that it's legal, we can't be a part of something that we truly know about and that we truly love and that can actually truly help people in the future. Because everybody knows that cannabis oil has cured a lot of forms of cancer. Trust me, I did my research on this. Once again, True Colors Don't Lie. My mother died from cancer, and I researched this. Cannabis oil, which is not legal to use in the U.S., but it has been proven to kill not every cancer cell, but a lot of forms of cancer, you know what I'm saying, which is still great, you know what I'm saying. So cannabis oil is the future of medicine, which is why the medical companies are trying so hard to keep it out, because a patient saved is a customer loss. A patient cured is a customer loss in their eyes. Medicine is just a business. They want to keep you on that bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
What they'll try to do, if they can, they will try to patent it, you know, make something. They'll make it somehow to where it's effective, but it won't cure you all the way if it's possible. They'll mix a bunch of other stuff in there, other poisons in there, like they do
cigarettes.
A bunch of other stuff. And then you have the commercial to where, hey, you can do this now, you know. We added this, this, and this, and it might kill you, might blind you, might make you deaf, but, you know, hey, take this. So what we're saying is, you know, our first thing that we need to do, we need to realize that the system is against us. Once we realize that, then we're able to fix it. We need to look in the mirror and understand that the people that we want to be our friends are ultimately our enemy and have been our enemy for centuries. So we need to come together. You know, just like Dub said, if you have a group that can invest in some type of medical marijuana, understand that that's going to be the new wave. And we need to keep educating ourselves. Once we do that, it all work itself out. But
yeah,
if we continue to just play, to just live in the system and operate in the system, then we're going to end up in the same position that we are in now. And that ain't going to help us at all.
Not at all. Something has to change, you know what I'm saying? And they not going to be the ones to change, so we're going to have to do it ourselves.
All right, man. You can go ahead. Go on and finish.
I was just going to say, man, this just changed the way we think, y'all. It starts mentally. Just changed the way we think and the rest to follow.
All right, man. We hope y'all enjoyed the show. I'm Cobb. And if y'all liked it, you know, I want y'all to follow me at TRUCOLOR podcast. I'm on Twitter. Check it out, man. Hit me up. Let me know what you think.
And also, you go to Facebook and like the True Colors Podcast on Facebook. Go ahead and like us and follow us on Facebook with links to the latest show, updates, insights from me and Cobb, even Sadie J. Just hit us up, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sadie J, Dub Spot Radio, for putting us down. I'm Dub with my partner Cobb.
See y'all next week.
Yeah.